to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's Articles of News for this week again. We already did it once. We're going to do it again. Not that the one earlier this week wasn't good, because it was.
It was good.
Thank you. And you listen?
I did.
Listen to who that is. It's just Joni.
Hi, guys.
And I almost want to give you a different nickname now, because you can't just be Joni if you're kicking Lyme disease's butt.
It's,
you know,
okay,
what I'm saying?
Like, I feel like just Joni.
Yeah. You look good.
Thank you.
The way you described yourself, I'll be 100% honest with you, and since we're friends, I can be candid. Like, I had sort of emotionally and mentally prepared myself to just be really nice based on, like, how you've described how you feel and look and act. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, whatever she is, remember that you love her. Remember whatever, however she is, she comes in. You remember that you just love her and that you need her to be here. And I see you and you look just like you normally do.
I know. Well, so we haven't seen each other since
last fall. Yeah.
And I kind of went through a, like, I gained a lot of weight really fast because,
nice.
I was
like every girl wants to.
Yeah, it was awesome.
No, like
partially
not.
Because I was so tired that I was just sedentary like all the time, and partially because the whole issues were making me really depressed, and
when
so
we,
I was.
When
just
we say
like,
issues, we talk about
Lyme disease.
Disease.
Yeah, yeah. So. So I was just eating a lot. And so I
anything
did put
good?
On...
Did you eat anything good?
Well, yeah, it was Christmas time. Oh. So, you know, every time a neighbor came over, I'm like, this is mine. You guys don't get any.
Yeah, you're punching your kids in the face.
Yeah.
My fudge! Man, Mom!
And I was supposed to be doing a specific diet, and I still felt crappy no matter what I ate. And
yeah.
So then I'd have, like, angry binges.
Right.
You know, like, I feel really crappy whether I eat ice cream or not, so I'm eating a whole pint of ice cream. Blah. But, and, like, I've had skin issues. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what's going on with my skin, but acne, like, I can't even...
Like a teenager.
Describe. Worse than anything I had as a teenager.
Well,
and
maybe
not just,
than you had as a teenager, but I...
Right.
But I think, oh...
Yeah, maybe.
That's me.
Maybe.
That's my experience.
But it was real... And it's, like, painful and stuff. So, anyway, I have buckled down more on the diet, and I think that's helping my skin a little bit, and I've lost... enough weight that I pretty much look like what I did when I saw you 6 months ago.
Nice. So. Did you have to do that so you had clothes to wear?
Kind of.
A little
yeah.
bit?
Yeah.
You're like, sweetheart, can we afford new clothes? No. Okay, well, I guess I'm going to go on a diet then.
I bought one pair of jeans in the size bigger to get me through the winter if I ever had to actually go somewhere. But I honestly spent like 85% of my time in sweatpants. Also because... my skin was really sensitive, and so, like, the creases of denim
sure.
on my skin was painful.
Yeah.
So I just wore sweatpants, like, all the time.
Creases
yeah.
of denim, one of my favorite alternative
yes.
rock bands.
Yeah, they're good.
Aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But they're a little painful on
yeah.
the back of your
yeah.
knees.
No, sure. That's their, what, title track?
Yeah, painful,
painful
on the back,
on
of,
the
your
back of your knees. It's a little longer than most titles of
right.
band songs, but...
That's okay. They're doing their own thing.
And a little faith crisis-y-ish?
Yeah, yeah.
Or certainly questioning, maybe not crises, since that
no,
seems to be cliche.
I mean, I would call it... it certainly feels like a crisis for me, but I'm trying to educate myself as much as possible, and I feel like I'm in a pretty good place right
good.
Now.
Good. High fives across the
yeah.
way. Here it is.
Psh.
Educating your way through the crisis.
That's right. That's
you know
right.
what you should do? Let me give you 2 cents. Rather than trying to find a faithful approach to it, you should take to the internet. And
right.
those who have left the church, they'll help you.
They know so much, right?
Yeah.
They
yeah.
know everything.
Let them help you.
Yeah.
That will certainly get you,
you know
where you want to
been
be.
Been helping me a lot, and I think we've talked about this before. Is his name Patrick? Mason is his last name.
Okay.
He wrote a book called Planted.
Yes. I don't know if it's Patrick Mason. I want to look.
He, so far, his is the best one at, like, recognizing the hard issues and understanding how to put your faith into context.
Patrick Q. Mason.
Yeah, Patrick Q. Mason. it's helpful.
He's the Howard W. Hunter Chair in Mormon Studies at, I'm betting, BYU, though I have to click through to see.
I like it because he is very clear at saying, like, having faith has never been hard for me. It's like my spiritual gift. I have always had faith. But I totally get why people struggle. But here are some things to consider.
You know what it is? It's an entirely honest and entirely affirming treatment of the challenges facing LDS believers. Mason brings a historian's training and sophistication together with a disciple's compassion and sensitivity to bear on an urgent topic. The result is a provocative and inspiring framework for faith.
I think it's...
Previous guest to the Cultural Hall, speaking about Patrick Q. Mason.
Yeah, and I've been reading a lot of different things, like more just flat historical based that don't have an opinion one way or another. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to read the scriptures and see them in a way that is helpful for me right now. And yeah. I'm realizing that faith is not what I thought it was.
No?
Like, we talk about faith like it's a surety, almost. Like, I know the church is true. Oh, my gosh, that person has so much faith.
Right.
And really, faith is like allowing room for doubts, even really big, fat ones, and saying, I'm not going to give up.
Huh.
That's what I'm coming to right now. Like, just because things don't necessarily make tons of sense, just because you're depressed out of your mind, just because you spend, I don't know, like 8 hours a day in bed crocheting because you don't have energy to do anything else, that's a really small... Those aren't the answers. That's just your current situation.
You know, the horrible thing about me is you kept saying faith, and I... My mind just kept going, well, I guess it would be nice if I could. Yeah, you know, because you got to have faith.
And I think if you have those boots, it's easier to have faith. The George Michael boots.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Way easier to have faith.
Yeah.
Because I need someone to hold me, but I wait for something more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I got to have faith. Anyway, well, good.
So,
that sounds like 1,000 times better than the last time we spoke, which was, I'm dying.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate anyone. You can come by if you want, but I don't want you to. Goodbye.
I was in that place for a really long time, and I'm still in that place sometimes.
But you're killing it. You look great.
You're being nice. Thank you.
No, I'm not. I'm not that nice, and everyone knows that.
So, really quick update. There's so much to say that I won't say, but I went to a specialist in... Lyme disease specialist in Washington, D.C., mostly because people in Utah just, A, if they're trained to say, oh, chronic Lyme disease is not a thing. So, A, no one will even diagnose it. B, they have no idea how to treat it. It's really complex. No two cases are the same because you definitely have co-infections. You got to think of ticks like dirty needles. If they have Lyme, then they have other diseases too. So you got to deal with whatever combo of diseases you've got.
So what else you got?
I don't know yet. The blood tests are still pending.
But you got a free trip. Well, not free. You got a trip out of Washington out of it.
It sucked really bad.
No good?
I painfully flew to D.C., painfully made my way to the doctor, laid in bed for 2 days, and then painfully made my way back.
Huh.
I didn't do anything. So everyone's like,
the hospitals
have fun
in D.C. are nice. Yeah, right?
I'm like, okay, I'll have fun getting up way earlier than I'm supposed to fly on a plane and sit in an airport and then get to a doctor's office.
Is your immune system super low?
Way.
So like...
Way, way, way.
The plane is like a soup of death for you.
Yeah, and like I have a fever all the time.
Yeah. Like, well, you give me fever.
Yeah, I'm hot-blooded.
In the morning? Yeah. Oh, I wasn't doing that one.
Okay. Okay. I don't know the rest of that, but I know what you're referencing.
Fever!
Yeah.
In the morning, fever. When you hold me tight.
Hold me tight. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
But don't.
How many songs can we reference with this?
At least three.
With the lime and the coconut.
Sure.
There's another one.
Yeah. With the Lyme disease.
Anyway, so this doctor is a specialist.
Hot is another one. I mean, if we want to go just basic temperature songs.
Right. If we're just talking temperature.
Hot town, summer in the city. I'm going to keep going. Go ahead.
So the goal is 3 years. By three years, my immune system should be normal. It's not a cure, but it feels normal. That's the goal.
How? Let me ask you this, and this is terrible of me that my mind goes this. How's your spouse with this?
He is incredibly supportive, but it is really hard on him.
Right?
It's really hard on him because not only does he pick up the slack where I
aren't able to. And it's not like you're being lazy. It's like you're legitimately like, can't do this.
Right. Like, I honestly, if I know that, oh, my kid has a recital tonight, I'll sleep that whole morning so that I have enough energy to go to the recital. Today, right. This is the thing I'm doing today. And then I'm going to go home and lay in bed for the rest of the day. But especially with my husband's personality, he not only picks up the slack, but then he feels like, well, I'm the well one, so I need to be really taking care of stuff. So he volunteers for extra things. Mm-hmm. So he's coaching my daughter's baseball team, and he grabs dinner when I'm too tired to cook, and he stays up late and he gets up early, and he, you know, goes to ward choir, and like he's doing way more than he can, I think, because he's forgetting that when I'm at a deficit, the whole family is going to have to be at a little bit of a deficit. Like, not only do I have to say no to stuff, he's going to have to say no to some stuff because he's making up for my lack a little bit. Right. So it's been really, really hard on him. And everyone is very focused on me. Like, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And I'm like, I am okay because I said no to a whole bunch of things. He needs some help. Yeah. You know?
It's good of you to be thoughtful for him.
Yeah. He's great, though. I mean, he is.
And so good looking.
Right? I know.
God.
He's got
so
a nice beard gum.
I know.
So nice.
I'm friends with him on Facebook. I know.
He's cute.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool, bro.
How are you?
Oh,
what's
I'm doing
going
all right.
On with you?
Oh, well, I talked about it on Monday's articles of news for a little bit. Since then, I just haven't felt very great.
Like physically?
Yeah, like I can't decide if it's allergies or a cold that just is like not committing to full being a cold, but just being enough to be a pain.
Do you usually have spring allergies?
I have and I have not. When I was a kid, man, elementary school, like I'd have to go home. When they did the first lawn mowing at school, like couldn't breathe, eyes just watering like crazy. Bad news.
I don't get spring allergies, but people I know who do say that this is a bad year.
Yeah. So I think it's partially that. And then the other part, I think I just got a little bit of a cold.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of hanging out.
And
it's
not sleeping ever? Is that another issue?
No, I'm sleeping more. But certainly, I mean, so that's like 5 hours or 6 hours a night.
Oh, yeah, that's tons.
Yeah. Man, I freaking slept like 6.5 last night. No, but it's just sort of a thing where it's like, it sort of lingers and holds on, and it's not enough for me to feel in good conscience that I can just be like, screw the day, going home. Like, yeah. I still feel healthy enough where it's like, I can eke this out. I can do this.
So you need to get a little bit sicker,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
Or get better. I would prefer the better.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, either a little sicker.
Have you ever been so stressed that you wish you got a little bit sicker so that you would have an excuse for a nap?
Yeah. But the problem is when I'm super stressed and try and take a nap, then I lay there and go, gotta take a sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta go to nap.
I know.
Gotta nap. Gotta go sleep. Well, I just crapped away that hour that I made for trying to take
that
a
sucks.
Nap. But I mean, there are worse things.
I can't nap with a deadline either.
Yeah.
If I know that I have to be awake by another time, there's no point even trying.
Yeah, because the mind latches on and then it's done.
Yeah.
So yeah, like today I'm filling in. DJ Rob needed a DJ, so I'm hanging out at an elementary school this afternoon.
Nice.
Because I am the epitome of what you want at an elementary school.
You're like,
I look good.
You
say
do.
It. Go ahead. No,
mildly
I look real
homeless.
Good today. I'll wear a hat. Because I think it's outside. I think it's an outside party.
Okay. Yeah. Ain't no party like an outside party.
Yeah, because the outside party don't stop.
I hope it stops at some point.
It'll be brief.
Yeah.
Because I'm in charge. We're limboing. We're done. We're done, kids.
Show me your nay-nay.
Yeah.
Okay, enough nay-nay.
Yeah. I don't think I can actually ask you to show me your nay-nay. Can I get a word on this? Oh, I can? Okay. All right. That's all right. Now, little kids, this is weird, but little kids in all forms make me uncomfortable.
I know they do. You've mentioned that several times.
Like, it isn't until like 7th or 8th grade that I get comfortable with little kids. Like, my nieces and nephews, I'm cool, right?
Yeah. That's when you have to fake it.
But yeah, like other kids, it just makes me uncomfortable because,
is it because you don't understand their thought process and so you feel like you're at a different level?
No, I just don't ever want, I wouldn't, I would never want to be accused, like something that would break me as a human being would be accused of being inappropriate with a kid.
Sure. And since you're inappropriate with everyone.
Yeah, with adults. No, really. With adults, you know, because it's funny and everyone knows. It's like, that's Richie. It, you know, there's a cognitive allowance of going, okay, that's, you know, sure. That's how he is.
Yeah.
That doesn't translate to kids. Right. And so kids make me uncomfortable.
I get it. My friends and I went to Disneyland when we were like, I don't know, 20 or something like that. And we were riding a little trolley and a little kid turned to my guy friend and said, I saw Belle. And he goes, shut up. Like trying to be engaged with her. And she started to cry because she thought that he told her to shut up.
Yeah.
So.
And all kinds. Like at church, it drives me crazy when like the elders will bring their kids into the bathroom. Guy or girl, doesn't matter. I just quickly am like, all right, I'm done. Even if I'm not done, I'm out of here. Really? And there never has been an incident or anything. And it's not like I harbor these secret creepy thoughts or anything like that. It just I just don't. Being accused of something like that would break me so much that I just avoid it at these really awkward costs.
Yeah. That is a little bit awkward because people have been having children since like the dawn of time. And
right.
They are part of our communities and stuff.
Zero population is the answer, my friend. Without it, the rest of us are doomed. I have an email. Do you have anything else to share going on? You got
really.
A cake, right? Didn't I get you a cake?
Yeah, Janae did. Janae made me a birthday cake.
Well, why did Janae make you a cake?
Because I asked someone to.
And what did I do? I'd like a 0.5% credit on this.
I don't know. What did you do?
Janae, so you put out a thing, hey, I'd like a cake. And I saw that post and I said, Janae, will you make this cake for her? And she did. So
basically, I usually make my own birthday cake,
right.
And it's usually a joy for me because I get to make whatever cake I like, regardless of if my children or family like it.
Right,
because
it's you. It's your birthday.
And so I like making my own birthday cake, but I knew I wasn't going to have the energy, so I put out on Facebook, I really want a coconut cake for my birthday. Anybody want to make me one?
Uh-huh.
And you directed Janae. And of course, Janae, being Janae, was like, yes, I will. And what she didn't write was, even though I'm going out of town like that same day, and it's going to be really inconvenient for me, but I totally will do it. So
was it delicious?
It was really good, and it was really beautiful.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It was
like you don't get a half baked cake from Janae. That's
right.
For sure.
It was to the point where she needed to drop it off the night before, and I wasn't going to be home. And then she got someone else who was going to be passing by my house to drop it off with my neighbor. That's how much effort she had to go to get it to me.
You said
it's
thanks,
all worth
yeah.
It. Yeah, I said thanks.
Good. And now you did it again.
Thanks.
I just wanted to give you, because I knew that it was an ordeal, so I wanted to give you the opportunity to publicly thank her.
Yeah. I mean, I've had so much go on since the last time I saw you that, like, I figure, yep, you got the gist of it. But yes, Janae made me a birthday cake. And it was a good
birthday.
I didn't
get any of that cake. I wanted to point that out, too. That was the other thing.
Yeah. It was...
Wasn't even invited.
Nope.
For the cake.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Would you have come?
No, but I would have appreciated the invitation.
Okay.
Let me share an email, and then let's take a break. How does that sound?
It sounds good.
It didn't matter what you said. I'll be honest with you. I was going to read it anyway. This is from Julianne. She writes an email to us. Says, hey, wanted to thank you guys for the fantastic job on the Brandy Vega episode. Have you listened to that one?
Yes.
She is doing amazing things, and I'm glad that you provide a platform for her to share what she is doing with the rest of us. In addition, she's complimentary to me. Sorry, I didn't actually read that part.
Oh, sorry.
Says, in addition, your stellar interviewing skills really brought out her personal story. Thank you, Julianne. It was truly moving and actually brought me to tears several times. You really helped tell her story and dig deeper beyond just the usual surface level questions without seeming like you were prying or invading her privacy. Well done! Exclamation point. Julianne goes on to say, I love listening to the Cultural Hall. No, I'm not a lifer with Pioneer stock, but I'm close. And while I enjoy how you take a faithful but fair and truthful look at difficult issues facing our faith and interview some interesting and fun characters in our LDS culture, my favorite episodes are when I come away feeling like my testimony is a little bit stronger. I know you all aren't paid, but I truly appreciate the time and energy that you put into producing this show. Thank you, Julianne.
Thanks, Julianne.
And that's you, pal. This is your thing today.
It is. Like, I honestly was a tiny bit nervous only because I was like, can I remember how to talk? Do I remember how
to
talk?
You're killing it. And people love you so much. I guarantee you the reception to this will be like, oh, we miss her so much. When is she coming back? Why do we have to have Richie still?
So just to set up an expectation, I'm at a... My treatment goes in phases, and the phase that I'm in right now is a feel pretty good phase, and then the end of June, I'm going to start a really hit it hard phase, and I probably...
Is it sort of like chemo? I mean, it's not like chemo, like you're going to lose your hair, but
right.
Like the further you get away from the treatment...
It's the same idea. I mean, it's a completely different process, and it's not the same experience, but it is the same idea that when you're hitting it heavy with the medication, you feel really crappy. So
I should get you a cake, what, around July?
No, I can't eat cake.
Ah, what about by the ocean?
I ate cake for my birthday, but...
And that's it.
Yeah.
No more on this diet.
No, I have to be... It was funny, you guys talked on Monday about, oh, everybody's gluten-free, but no one actually has celiac. It's such a blah, blah, blah. I have to be gluten-free, and I do not have celiac. But it's because... gluten, and I'm sugar free. Gluten and sugar cause inflammation, and the majority of my pain comes from inflammation. So
fun free. That's what that sounds like.
It is. I eat a lot of salt and a lot of cream.
Mm.
Those are the two things that are
so bad,
allowed.
Actually, never mind. Yeah. Maybe I have it. What do you have? I've got it.
So much potato chips. I can't. My doctor didn't say eat as many potato chips as you want, but they didn't specifically say no potato chips.
Right.
So I really go to town on those.
What's your flavor? What's your jam?
Plain Lay's or plain
Ruffles?
Plain Lay's or kettle cooked Lay's. Either.
Okay. But you're not a Ruffle chick?
Only if I have dip.
Okay. Can you do Ruffles with cream cheese? Because that I could live off of the rest of my
cream
life.
Cream cheese with potato chips?
Yeah. Think about it.
Do you put any flavoring in the cream cheese?
No, come on.
Because, like, would cream cheese ranch be good?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
You should try that.
Okay.
Okay.
When next you see me, I'm 20 pounds heavier, you'll know it was good. Let's take a break for a second. We'll come back in the second half and do actual articles of news.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hi, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City.
Consumer alert! Consumer alert!
Are you suffering from excruciating headaches? Are you having a hard time sleeping no matter what you do? That old small computer screen from years ago could be your problem, exposing you to a huge amount of radiation and eye strain, leading to headaches and loss of sleep. Screens are something a lot of people overlook because they really don't break a lot, so they keep them for years. At PC Laptops, we only carry screens that we've tested tests on our own eyeballs. Right now, purchase any PC laptop's desktop and get a free monitor size upgrade. That's right. Buy a 24-inch, get an upgrade to 27 inches for free. We have brand new PC laptop's desktop computers from only $799, and they're covered forever with a lifetime warranty. That's right, $799 covered forever. So run into any PC laptop's location right now or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. At PC Laptops, we love you.
It's time for the second half of Articles of News. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
The first article of news, I just took my sweatshirt off here in the studio, and just Joni said, your arms are way bigger than the last time I saw you. Thank you.
It's true. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not the Richie I knew.
Do you know what this is? It's a gun rack.
Oh my
stupid,
God.
Right?
Yeah. Don't do that.
Don't what?
Don't do the gun rack joke with rack? Anyone you're trying to impress.
Well, I'm not trying to impress you.
Okay, good.
Should I? I guess I should try and impress you. What's
no,
up, baby? How you
it's
doing?
It's fine. I'm just saying, keep that one
for me.
Like people like me.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
For my closest.
Yeah, that you're not trying to impress.
Okay. Done. Okay. Let's start with some articles of news. What do you have? I should have asked you that before we started.
You want me to, like, list them out?
No. Give me one that you want to start with. What's the one that's tickling you right now?
Okay. So I thought that this one was funny.
Okay.
It's not all that hard hitting, but the title of the article is An LDS Temple on a Cruise Ship: One Man's Unique Solution for Saints Overseas in 1967. And then on the website that it is posted on, it says, this is totally true story. We researched this. So you're thinking, oh my gosh, there's a temple on a ship. This is the story.
That's awesome.
When David O. McKay became the ninth president of the church in 1951, there were only eight operating temples. By the time of his death, the number of temples built or under construction was almost doubled. This focus on temple building came, one, from the realization that growing groups of members in the United States didn't have access to temple blessings, and two, the desire to continue strengthening the kingdom in other parts of the world. One innovative design, however, was unlike any proposed before it or since. Though it was never built, the temple ship was still an interesting solution, now recorded in David O. McKay's biography. Blah, 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 blah. Here's the quote. After observing the difficulty these members had in getting to a temple. Okay, so basically,
if you can't get the people to the temple, bring the temple to the people.
Which I think is a totally awesome idea.
I love it.
But they just, it never happened. So the true story is that President McKay thought of it.
Yeah.
That's the true story.
That's awesome.
But I think that's good idea. A temple ship.
A temple cruise?
Or like you could even, because that really only services people that are adjacent to water. You could make like a temple bus. A temple bus.
No, but the ship makes sense. And here's where you're not thinking. Joni, come on. The baptismal font has to be below the ground, doesn't it?
Oh.
Because it's,
yeah, I wasn't thinking about that
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, right? So with the cruise ship, and I'm not, I say that now and I think, is the baptismal font at the New York Temple in Manhattan, is that below ground? But if not.
Yes.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
And you go down to the baptismal
mm-hmm.
font and then up to the other
mm-hmm.
levels? Okay. You totally possible on a cruise ship, but not totally possible on anything else. Because bottom level of the cruise ship, right? Because the bottom,
sure.
The hole.
Totally. Like, I think that that's a really awesome idea.
And I'm going to take it one further. And you have a cruise ship. Maybe we do another graphic about this.
You can go on a temple cruise.
Yeah. On a temple cruise. And how much it costs?
10%.
Book now for eternity.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, let's capitalize.
Did you always want to go on a cruise with your parents but couldn't before they passed away?
And then get married on the temple cruise, honeymoon
right?
is built in.
See?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
We should get with the first presidency on this.
David O. McKay had it right. President McKay was on prophetic.
Yeah.
It just took him a while. The temple ship.
anyway, what you got?
Come exciting and new. It's coming. I'm going to make it come
aboard.
We get
like little Motab quartets to like,
we're expecting you. Yeah. No, you get the whole Motab to do the, except what would it be? The Temple Ship? That's too many syllables for Love Boat. The
Love Boat is short. That's hard to.
Right. But we'll get it. There's something out there. The church. It's something. There's something out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I've got this. Have you seen this about the Rainbow Mormon Initiative?
Yes, and I figured you would cover it. So
on June 5th, that is in the future, 2016, a group of Mormons who are allies with of their LGBT brothers and sisters will be launching an initiative to show their support and love by wearing rainbow ribbons to church. So that Sunday, June 5th, or just wearing them on the Sundays if you do not attend church, and posting photos of themselves online. The Rainbow Mormon Initiative also encourages those who wish to participate to knit or crochet scarves, hats, or blankets to donate to the Ogden Youth Futures, which is a shelter for homeless LGBT teens in northern Utah. So this is Utah-specific, but church-wide as far as the initiative goes. She saw that others were trying, that is Christy Money, the founder of the initiative, saw that others were trying to help with suicide prevention of LGBT Mormons and thought, hey, let's organize. But she acknowledges that thousands of other uncorrelated Mormons have already been fighting the good fight. On June 5th, which is exactly 7 months from the date of the policy change that labeled same-sex married Mormons apostates and threatened them with excommunication, that their children will be denied baptism, a saving ordinance, and inclusion in full church participation from priesthood ordination to mission calls. The children have been told that if they wish to be baptized, they must wait till they're 18, so on and so forth. That's that. So June 5th is the day of the Pride Parade here in Salt Lake City. It's also a fast Sunday. So it's a day, and if I understand it correctly, we'll get the folks from the Rainbow Mormon Initiative in for a special episode of the Cultural Hall, but as I understand it, it will be rainbow ties, ribbons, every Sunday, beginning Sunday, June 5th.
Oh. So, obviously, they're doing it to show love and support
right.
for LGBT youth and Mormons and all of that. Maybe you mentioned it and I didn't pick up on it. Is there actual... Like, are they lobbying for something specific, or they're just trying to show support?
I think it's just showing unification and support.
Okay.
Obviously, probably some element of that is the change of...
Sure.
You know, the policy or...
There's definitely going to be a large percentage of crossover of people who are supporting who also would be in favor of change of the policy.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's not even like they're... It's not like a rainbow tie company that's trying to sell rainbow ties. It's just...
Well, someone should get on that.
I think. And it's a handsome tie. If you go to theculturalhall.com...
Yeah, shiny.
Yeah. I like that rainbow tie. So there's that. Let me share this with you, too. Man arrested... 40-year-old man.
Is this the Layton thing?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Been taken into custody on suspicion of vandalizing a meeting house for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Monday night. Vandalism was discovered by a Layton police officer while on patrol in the area of 590 West Antelope Drive. Police officers say that they noticed a car in the parking lot of an LDS church and found the driver's door open with no one around the vehicle. So he couldn't even be bothered to shut his own door.
That's not suspicious.
I gotta go vandalize now! I am so angry. When he went to check on the building, police say the officer discovered glass that was smashed out of at least two of the doors. Inside, he found garbage and broken wine bottles scattered around. On the outside of the building, police say someone had rubbed feces on the walls.
My.
No one was found inside or around the building at the time. Oscar Ramirez was later taken into custody, and based on the evidence that was found inside the vehicle in the parking lot of the church, Ramirez was booked into the Davis County Jail on criminal mischief.
He was not sober. He could not have been sober, right? Mm.
Maybe drunk with anger. I don't know. Here's the thing. I used to be fairly passive about this stuff. Like, okay. Like, it did, you know, I would prefer that they don't break out the windows. But I got to thinking about it and how I shared that post on the Cultural Hall on Facebook, if you're not following us, as I said. Well, there goes my tithing. I started thinking about it a little bit like that. And it's like, what a waste.
Yeah, for sure. And guess who gets to clean the feces off the walls?
Not him. Not
Church
Oscar
members.
Ramirez, a 40-year-old man from Layton.
Right. Either the bishop or the Relief Society president or a group of volunteers.
Actually, I just read this.
What?
I didn't read the whole thing. Your husband actually volunteered to clean the feces.
I would not be surprised.
He said he'd be up there later. He just needed to... I needed to make sure you were okay,
and then in between baseball games and picking up.
It's like I got a coach, and then I'll be there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't see that. I would have mentioned that before.
I'll remind him to bring his rubber gloves.
Yeah, babe, I just got done. Hey, babe.
We don't call each other babe.
Oh, what do you call each other?
Honey.
Honey? Oh, you're honeys.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I have friends who call each other babe, and that just has never sat right with me.
Yeah,
babe.
Everyone has a different thing.
Yeah.
My wife's babe.
Yeah.
And hers is, stop talking. No, I'm just joking. I'm just teasing.
No, we're honey, almost.
Both honeys?
Yeah, pretty
honeys
much.
Honeys is no better than babe. I just want you to know.
No, I understand.
There's no superiority with honey to babe.
I do understand that.
Okay.
It just feels wrong for me to use the word babe.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Babe, I'm leaving.
My favorite. See?
Right?
I love sticks.
Yeah.
I really do.
That's nine for the day? Nine songs?
You're keeping track?
You said keep track.
Oh, well, way to go.
Yeah.
I just tossed that out there and didn't keep track.
Oh, so you Richied it.
Yeah.
That's what you did. This is interesting, too. I haven't read much through this, so let's both learn together.
Okay.
This is from the web, and it's called Leaked, Mormon Missionary Guide to Social Media.
Okay.
On Tuesday night, a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints leaked a draft of a guide for how Mormon missionaries can use technology and the internet. The 32-page document provides a glimpse into the insular, restrictive life of the LDS members who volunteer to serve on proselyting and humanitarian missions. So, basically, it sounds like this is the handbook of instructions for missionaries using social media and the internet. Yep.
The word leaked makes it sound to me as though it's private information. Is that private information?
My guess is that it probably hasn't been distributed. It's new and hasn't been distributed to all the missionaries yet.
Okay.
So we're scooping, some might say.
Okay.
Or we might be delivering completely false information. That's also a thing.
Who's leaking this information? Who's
members of the church
I'm
who are...
I'm the mole.
Yeah.
I'm the missionary guidelines mole.
Mole. So this newly leaked document... Now, wait a minute. This says... Okay, hang on. Just finding... We're discovering this together because I found this just before we started recording. This newly leaked document... is the first public look at how one of the most important Mormon institutions has adapted in the information age, and it demonstrates the church's need to clarify how social media can be used as a tool both for good and for evil. For now, this is quote, Facebook is the only social media site that you are authorized to use. So this is directly to missionary. And then the following are the Facebook standards. So here we are.
Okay.
These are what missionaries have to do in order to be able to use Facebook. Number one, this is going to be less exciting than I think, by the way. Number one,
come on,
always,
we're scooping it.
Always sit where you can see your companion's screen.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, be aware of your companion's contacts, messages, and communications.
Okay.
Right? So he's not having a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Do not post, comment, or message anything without your companion reviewing it first. This does not apply to letters to the president or emails home. So that's interesting. So if I'm a missionary, going to go post something, you have to oversee it. Like, you have to look at it.
Okay.
It makes sense.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that you don't understand how inflammatory that sounds.
Sure.
Like a double check. Okay. Use a profile picture that reflects your sacred calling. Show your name tag and wear appropriate mission attire. Use an individual picture of you, not a group photo. That makes sense. This is not as exciting as I thought this might be.
So my question is, though, if you're on a full-time mission and you are using Facebook as a tool, is it your own Facebook account and, like, your friends and family are on it and they can... I mean, obviously, you're not going to be like, hey, Mom, send me some cookies. But you could say, today, we met this person and we were able to teach a lesson. And it's almost like a letter home. Or can you only... I mean, is it separate, or are you friends with your friends and family, so it's extra communication?
I don't know.
Like, can they
but
send
I have seen
you
like
a message?
I have seen, like, Elder Richard Stedman on Facebook before.
Okay.
But I don't know, like, how that works, where I couldn't make mine Elder Richard Stedman.
That's
now.
It's weird that you know someone named exactly your same
right?
name.
Strangest thing. I friended him because he sounded cool.
Yeah.
More rules. You cannot play any of the Facebook applications or games.
If I can't have Candy Crush, why am I even going on a mission?
You have to leave groups that do not reflect your calling as a representative of the Lord.
Okay.
Remember that the church is politically neutral.
Yeah.
Your posts and interactions with others should reflect the same political neutrality. Do not engage in conversations with individuals whose only goal is to destroy your testimony. Unfriend or block any individual who's only interested in arguing with you, destroying your faith, or undermining the progress of investigators.
That is a good policy for anybody.
Right? Talk to your mission president for his guidance if you encounter such circumstances. And then adjust your newsfeed so that those who would be a distraction to your work do not appear on it. Yeah, so it sounds like that. Like, if I'm doing it for my mission stuff, I'm still friends with mom and dad, but I click to not
You'd
see their...
You'd have to hide almost everybody, though.
Yeah.
Like, you would really have to block...
You'd cater it towards what you needed.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool.
It's interesting because when I didn't serve a mission, but my friends at the time that my friends were all serving missions... They had such specific media rules. I mean, most of my friends could only listen to, like, Motab and maybe if they had a cool mission president EFY music. If you have a Facebook feed, if you are going to get information on your Facebook that does not meet mission standards.
Sure.
Even if you're blocking 90% of the people that you know,
sure.
you just are. So I think that that's
There's probably
a limited
amount of time, obviously.
Yeah,
too.
It doesn't
lend to that, but
it's just it's evolving. Everything's evolving quickly.
Too quickly.
Yeah.
I miss the good old days.
Yeah, I miss my tail.
Yeah.
Because I evolved. Okay, never mind.
I miss when I got to walk slunched over.
Yeah.
It was better.
We evolved so quickly.
I was so much better. Let me see if I... What other stories do you have?
I have... So, I'm sure everyone's getting tired of all the Title IX stuff. But Elizabeth Smart has joined in the advocacy of the... Did you already talk about this?
We talked a little bit about it, but open it up. Because we've gone heavy about it and then nothing about it.
Kidnapping victim Elizabeth Smart has joined the syndicated TV show Crime Watch Daily as a correspondent. I didn't know that. Did you guys talk about that?
Mm-mm.
She's a correspondent, and in her first episode discussed Brigham Young University's honor code and the stories of two women who reported being sexually assaulted to the Provo school. Smart interviewed Haley Allen and Colleen Dietz. Who both have said that the school punished them for violating aspects of the private school's honor code when they reported being raped. Smart said, "It really makes me feel terrible to think that these women are not coming forward and getting the help that they need, not only need, but deserve, because they're too worried about the rules that are in place, worried that they'll get expelled." She said this in the episode, which aired Wednesday on Fox 13. Smart said the women's stories remind her of what I felt and what I went through. So then it goes over Smart's history. If you don't know who Elizabeth Smart is, then you've probably never listened to this show before.
A girl who was kidnapped.
Yeah, and then, kidnapped and sexually... So she said, "I've been physically chained up and I have been manipulatedly chained up. I can say that the power, that manipulation, is so much stronger than any chain anyone could put on me." So then BYU spokeswoman Carrie Jenkins added Wednesday that victims of sexual assault are never disciplined for being a victim of sexual assault. SMART will be working with the program on an ongoing basis, according to show producers. We teamed with Elizabeth SMART because we respect the work she has done all over the country as an advocate and think she has an important voice that should be heard on a regular basis. So this article from the Salt Lake Tribune is more about the fact that Elizabeth SMART joined the show as a correspondent, and her first episode was about Title IX.
You know, and it's a fascinating thing, like we mentioned in Articles of News on Monday. Change is coming. BYU will change their policy.
Yeah.
And it sucks that people had to be victims in order for the policy to change. But
yes, it does.
But things will change to where they are more available to hear the claims of the men and women who are sexually assaulted, and things will get better.
Yeah. I think they will have to get better, but I don't think that there is a situation that meets the needs perfectly of every person.
Yeah.
So the best you can do is to keep trying to meet the best needs for the people who need it the most and have some grace and charity for everyone involved.
Yeah. Did we talk on Monday about the tennis player up at Idaho State? On Articles of News,
remember.
Do you remember that?
I heard about it, but I can't remember if I listened to you about it or read about it. No, I just read about it.
So there is, he's a tennis player for Idaho State University.
Right.
His name is Orrin Duffin.
Yeah, he's Mormon.
Yeah. As in Porter Rockwell, Orrin Porter Rockwell, no. He claims that he was harassed and discriminated against because he belongs to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Played tennis for up at Idaho State. And he says that almost immediately being on the team, he was being singled out by his coaches for they were asking him inappropriate questions about sexual activities as they relate to the Mormon religion. Mr. Duffin told his teammates and schoolmates that he would be doing mission work in Taiwan after the 2014 school year. At that point, he would no longer be on the team. In response, Mr. Gultz, that's one of the coaches, allegedly retaliated against the tennis star by prohibiting him from participating in any further doubles games. So he said, I'm going on a mission in the tennis. And the tennis coach is like, you're not going to play doubles anymore.
Right.
The ISU men's team took part in a tournament in Utah and Arizona last March, according to the lawsuit, at which point the alleged harassment was taken to a new level. While staying in Las Vegas, Coach Gross hatched a plan involving team members and arranged to send two prostitutes or strippers to the plaintiff's room for the purpose of propositioning him with sex. Hey, let's get the Mormon guy to have sex. You want to have sex, Mormon guy? Here's two girls. You want to have sex with him, the Mormon guy? The women asked the plaintiff if he was interested in having a, quote, good time. Gross sent the woman to the plaintiff's room to tempt him to violate his religion's tenets and to sexually harass and embarrass him. So real classy, sports build character guy. The university's Office of Equal Opportunity, Affirmative Action, and Diversity later investigated the tennis trip and concluded last year that allegations concerning the sex workers could be corroborated. So, basically, it's not just he alleged that they actually did hire these two folks. The probe ultimately determined that Mr. Gultz, one of the coaches, had permitted a culture of hostility toward Mr. Duffin and recommended that action be taken against him. So, both Mr. Gultz and Mr. Gross... Mr. Gultz decided to retire, and Mr. Gross had resigned. And so now this tennis player is going after the school, saying, you got to do better than that.
So this is the thing that seems so strange to me out of that whole story. This is Idaho State. This is not happening in a place where nobody has Mormons in their school or
right,
on
like,
their
team.
Right,
like, what's a Mormon? I've never heard.
Yeah, like, oh, you crazy Mormons with your weird sexual repression or whatever.
Right.
Like, the fact that he was targeted for being a Mormon and, like, going on a mission seems totally odd to me that would happen in Idaho.
Well, see, and I wonder, and this by no means excuses him, so I'm not giving it, but I wonder if he wasn't kind of a jerk.
Right. That's kind of what I, and obviously,
that there's no excuse for anything that
not.
They did to
there
him.
There is not. That,
but
that's
there,
being
but there's
injured.
A missing piece to it. So either right. either that or maybe Mr. Gross or Mr. Goltz, like if they had bitter feelings towards the church, maybe they were former members or had been scorned somehow. Like I could see that. But there is a missing piece to...
I would be surprised if Oren was the only Mormon kid on the whole tennis team. Like,
right?
Is that weird?
Right.
Anyway, so maybe there's a missing piece that we don't know in there.
This breaking news, breaking Mormon news. Richard Norby, one of the missionaries.
From the bombing.
Yep. Left the hospital today.
Oh, good. I'm glad that's what you said, because you kind of gave me a scary look, and
nope.
I was worried it went the other way.
Nope. He has now left the hospital. Congratulations.
Good. He's from Salt Lake area.
Give me a second. He was the last of the three missionaries that were hospitalized here in the United States.
Bluffdale. Bluffdale?
Wait. Hold. He has gone back to... Lehigh.
Lehigh. That's close to Bluffdale.
Yeah, and relatively. Let me read this for you. For our family, this day was an absolute miracle. He and our mother... This is from his son, apparently. He and her mother are now creating a new version of normal life for themselves with the addition of daily wound care of his legs and physical and occupational therapy sessions. He still has significant shrapnel wounds to his legs that require attention. His burns and broken left leg are healing as expected. Emotional and physical healing are their priority, and they look forward to what they will learn along the way. The road to recovery remains long but manageable. The outcome for our father remains unseen, but we share his optimism that it will be okay, whatever okay is. It will be okay. The new chapter is a time of gratitude for the many medical personnel in Utah and Brussels that made this day possible. It's a time of gratitude for all of the many who have prayed for miracles on his and our mother's behalf. Our family has been comforted and blessed with peace during this wonderfully trying time. Most importantly, Richard, Norby, and Pam, as well as the Norby family, would like to express our sincere thanks to a loving Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God lives, He loves His children, and knows each of our needs. While we don't always understand His purposes for us in this life, we trust that He knows best and understand the important refining process of trials. Additionally, if you are considering visiting, please hold that thought.
Yeah.
His continued recovery and busy therapy schedule, not to mention finding their new routine, still takes up most of their day and our energy. Thank you for all your kind, heartfelt comments. Comments that he and our mother read daily.
Hooray.
Sister Fanny Klein.
Belgium? Mm-hmm,
has been treated in Belgium for her original injuries and a resulting blood infection.
But
no idea...
And the two elders both came home a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have been home for a while. Not a long time ago. This was only
But they had
a month.
Relatively shorter stays in the hospital in
Correct.
Europe.
Correct. What else have you got? Anything?
I'm not going to read this whole thing, but it just point people's attention to it. The New York Times wrote an article called A Last Look at the Romney Dream, basically saying... If Romney was ever going to come in as a third party, he kind of already has used up that time. Pretty obvious he's not going to. Mm-hmm. And then I thought it was funny that he said, since it seems clear enough that Romney doesn't intend to get in there, there's no need to beat a dead white horse prophecy.
Yay! Best line ever.
But he basically runs scenarios of what might have happened if Romney came in. And he said the most likely thing would be that it would just split the Republican vote and Hillary would take it. He said it would have been the very slimmest of chances that Romney could have actually taken the presidency, even if he'd come in. That's all.
So there's that. Find us on Pinterest. We don't mention that nearly enough. Carly does a great job. You can find us on Instagram at The Cultural Hall. You can find us on Facebook and also Twitter at The Cultural Hall. Contact us always at theculturalhall.com or subscribe on iTunes. You can get us there as well. Stitcher is a fun place to get it as well.
Yeah, I listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening.
Yeah.
We hope that this episode has, in fact, nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope that if you are ever called upon to drive in a large metropolitan area, that you will know how to find a parking spot.
Was that harder for you then?
I cannot ever find the right parking place? Garage. That's all.
Okay. And then when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat. On the back row, we really gotta go on the cultural hall show.